Tehillim, chapter 124, Kof Chaf Dalid. This mizmor describes a situation when the Jewish people were in great existential danger and then miraculously saved. It can be seen as a continuation of the previous mizmor, where the Mishorer asked V'chein, grace, and now gives an example of when it was granted. We begin with the first psukim, which are a description of the danger. Shir ha-ma'alot le-David, a song of ascents to David. Lulei Hashem shehaya lanu, if not for Hashem, who was for us. Yomar na Yisrael, he turns to the audience. Yisrael, think what could have happened. The opening refers to David. It is possible that this refers to the threat that he faced from Nabal ha-Karmeli in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 25, and we will continue with this thought when we reach the description of his salvation. But he says, if not for Hashem, who protected us, dot, dot, dot. The phrase will continue in verse 3. And this evokes Yaakov's words in Bereshit to Lavan. Lulei Elokei Avi Elokei Avraham Ufachad Yitzchak Hayali. If not for the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Yitzchak, who has been with me all along, dot, dot, dot. In fact, the Midrash says that Yisrael, in our verse, refers to Saba Yisrael, Grandpa Israel, in other words, Yaakov. He was also faced with an existential threat, although not physical. Lavan wanted to absorb him and his family into the local Aramite culture. And just as he was saved, we pray that we be saved. Using the Ma'alot structure, he repeats, verse 2, Lulei Hashem shehaya lanu, if not for Hashem who was with us, Bekum aleinu adam, when a man or people rose against us. Midrash relates this to the threat of Haman, which is why this mizmor is recited in some Sephardic communities on the night of Purim. Azai, then, the word azai really should be az, and only appears in this form in this mizmor in all of Tanakh. Chaim bilauni. Bilaunu, they would have swallowed us up alive, becharot apambam, when their anger was kindled against us. This is the conclusion of the condition in the first two verses, if not for God who was with us. A description of the vicious forces that we encounter. There's an image of torture and great pain. We would have been swallowed alive in their anger, comparing the enemy to a vicious beast of prey that swallows its animals, its victims alive, like a boa constrictor swallowing an animal. But I think it also evokes the punishment of Korach, where the earth opens its mouth and swallows the rebels alive. Azai, again, the Malot structure, repeated word. Hamayim shitafunu, the waters would have overwhelmed us. Nachla avar nafshenu, a stream would have gone over our souls. It would have overwhelmed our lives. Strongly flowing, ranging waters are flooding over us. We are drowning. Azai, again, the Malot structure, Avar al Nafshenu, repeating the structure from the previous verse, Hamayim HaZidonim, the proud waters would have gone over our souls. Zidonim means roiling or bubbling, reaching high up into the air, sort of anthropomorphizing the water as proud, reaching upward. In any case, we've been overwhelmed by the water. So instead, in verse 6 and 7, we bless Hashem and thank Him for His salvation. Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, Shalom l'tananu teref l'shineihem, who did not give us as prey to their teeth. We thank Hashem that our enemies did not succeed in consuming us. This can be a continuation of the animal imagery in verse 3, or that of a new image, that of a hunter who traps animals to eat. And that second image of the hunter is consistent with verse 7. Nafshenu, Kitzipor nimlata, our soul is escaped as a bird, which escapes from mipach yokshim, the snare of a trapper. Hapach nishbar, the snare is broken, v'anachnu nimlatnu, and we escape. We escape with our lives like a bird does from a trap. How? The trap broke, so we can escape. This is miraculous because traps are designed to withstand the struggles of the animal, which they ensnare. Now, if this refers to David and Nabal, Abigail says to him, in preventing him from gratuitously killing Nabal, she says, Vayakom Adam lirdefcha, their man has risen up to chase you, ulivakesh et nafshecha, and to seek your life, v'hayta nefesh adunit tzura b'tzora chayim, and your soul will be bound up in the bound of life, et Hashem lokecha, with God, and your enemies will not succeed. So this may be the reason that this is a mizmor le David. If this mizmor was written for those who returned from the Babylonian exile, I think it could be describing their previous situation, where they thought they would not survive, whether physically or culturally. A and yet they're able to go now to Eretz Yisrael and to the Beit HaMikdash. And how appropriate that is for us today as well. Think of the change between 1938 and 1948. 1938, no hope. 1948, the blossoming of the state. And the Mizmor concludes with verse 8. Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, our help is in the name of God, Oseh Shamayim ba'aretz, who makes heavens and earth. The only conclusion that can be drawn from this is that Hashem is the one who helps us escape. What is the source of that help? The fact that Hashem made the heaven and the earth. He is in control of it all. If this was written for the Olei Regel, the pilgrims who would come up to Jerusalem three times a year, they would use this opportunity to thank Hashem for everything and pay, in quotes, their vows that they had made in a time of trouble. Also, it's appropriate to declare that Hashem created everything. Although right now I stand in Jerusalem in his house, I know that Hashem is with me wherever I go. The Mishorer here is calling to us to look deeply into events and realize the forces that are behind them, that our existence and our survival are continual miracles. And in the words of Mark Twain, who was really not a person who loved the Jews, he says, if the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 0.25% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also very out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in this world in all ages and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, and the Persians rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greeks and Romans followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other people have sprung up and held the torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now and have vanished. The Jew saw them all, survived them all, and now is what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert but aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jews. All other forces pass, but he remains. Mark Twain concludes, what is the secret of his immortality? And I would conclude with the words of the Mishorer, Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, Oseh Shamayim v'aretz. Have a wonderful day.